We appreciate very much the opportunity to communicate God's word to many people other than the people who are in this auditorium today. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Please, let's pray together. Father, we're thankful today, once again, for the opportunity to study your word. We're grateful for the fact that we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We are the recipients of your matchless grace, and we thank you over and over and over again for your wonderful blessings. Bless us in these moments of study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the back of your bulletin today, you see the translation from the German of Jonah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, then down to verse 8, verse 10, verse 12. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against them, for their wickedness has risen before me. How unique this is, the translation from the German. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, from the face of the Lord. You just don't get away from the face of the Lord. You know that, don't you? Isn't that interesting? But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the face of the Lord. He went down to a place here, J-A-F-O, found a ship that went to Tarshish, gave the traveling price for it, and notice he had to pay a fare to run away from God, and went in to go with them to Tarshish from the face of the Lord. Then our verse, verse 8, and they said to him, tell us, why this guilt is shared by us? What is your profession? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what nation are you from? What I've discovered is, as we studied this book of Jonah in the past, and now studying it again, we concluded that there were major principles in relationship to each of the four chapters. And so what I've done in the past, and I repeat, that we have in chapter 1, principles, 10 points. And if the Lord willing and I get through today, I will give those. And then when we get to the end of chapter 2 and maybe even before, I found 8 points of principles for chapter 2. Found 5 points principles for chapter 3 and 12 points principles for chapter 4. So I just wanted you to see that when we preached on Jonah before, at the beginning of each chapter, I would give these points. And then at the end of the message, I would give these points. And the reason why I'm doing it this way is because we've taken all these many, many messages on the book of Jonah, and we've pressed them down to 6 sessions. And this is the 2nd session on the book of Jonah. So you'll have to understand that you have to listen rapidly, and you have to pay close attention, and you'll have to realize that what we're doing is pressing a lot of information into a brief number of sessions. And so this is session number 2. And we go to Jonah chapter 1, 7, 8, and through to verse 11. If you'll look at it, please, let's look at verse 7. And each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots, so we may learn on whose account this calamity has stricken us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now that's verse 7. Verse 8. Then they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Verse 9 of Jonah chapter 1. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Notice, if you will, please, what Jonah is concluding here. He is emphasizing the characteristics of the members of the Godhead. And he's emphasizing the sovereignty of God. He says, I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10, then the man became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? How could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. He was seeking to flee from the presence of the Lord. And all of us are aware of the fact that you don't flee, you don't get away from the presence of God. God is continually watching. His all-seeing eyes are upon us at all times. We cannot hide. We can go into a closet and shut the door and turn off the light. You can rest assured God still knows what's going on inside of that room in your mind and in your life. Notice, if you will, please, he says here, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10 again, then the man became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Verse 11, so they said to him, what should we do to you, that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. I want you to know that these words are so unique, so powerful. What's interesting to me is that these guys on that boat, they asked Jonah, what do you want us to do? Did you notice that? Verse 11. So they say to him, what should we do to you, that the sea may become calm for us? So what I'm seeing here is Jonah is the culprit. Do you see that on the screen? Oh, that's it right there. Jonah the culprit. Let us cast lots that we may know whose cause the evil is upon us. And not one said, it is I. Is this an okay for gambling? Is this an okay on being superstitious? No, the question to number one and the question number two, God can certainly use whatever he desires. I love to think about that. God can use whatever he desires for us. God certainly can use whatever he desires. Was Samuel called back from the dead by the witch of Endor in 1 Samuel 28, 7 through 20. The witch could not do it. Only God can raise him up. God has the power. Power over death, power over the grave. He has the keys of hell and of death, says Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He can grant and use various circumstances. I want to stop again and let you see what I'm trying to emphasize. And that is, God can use various circumstances. If you were able to come up here and stand by my side and tell how God has utilized various circumstances in your life, all of us would appreciate, of course, the fact that we can see that God does use various circumstances. I'm not going to begin to even enumerate circumstances today, but all of us here are aware of the fact that in your past days, you had experiences to take place in your life where you were able to look back later and you were able to see, God used that to help me see where I should go and what I should think and what my life should be like. Here it says they cast lots. And naturally, the lot fell on old Jonah. This preacher who was running away from God. When you look at verse 8, apparently Jonah has not said anything to any of these individuals so far about his calling. At this point of time, you will notice that he's not said anything about his God. So they ask him, what is your occupation? You'll see it in verse 8. He kept quiet about being God's man. He kept quiet about being a prophet. They asked him then, where are you from? Jonah had not told them that he was from Gath-Hepher in the northern kingdom of Israel. He has not said anything about his hometown. Isn't it amazing how sometimes people can keep quiet when they realize how guilty they are? You notice that Jonah has not been talking about his God. He's not talking about his hometown. He's not telling these things. He's keeping his mouth shut. What is your country? Jonah had not told them that he was a citizen of Israel and belonged to the Israelite people who had a revelation of the living and true God. Oh, when I got to this point in preparation, here's what I did. Not only I wanted to just stand up, but I couldn't do that and type, so I just got those letters up to capital. Being out of the will of God decreased his witnessing effectiveness. Stop with me and look to see what I'm saying. He didn't tell him where he was from. He didn't tell him about his God. He didn't tell him the fact that he was an Israelite. He didn't tell him any of these things. So being out of the will of God decreased his witnessing effectiveness. Could I tell you something? When you and I get out of the will of God, it decreases our witnessing effectiveness. Every time. You get out of the will of God. I get out of the will of God. We become controlled by the old sinful nature. And when that happens, we're not going to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. Jonah wasn't. He didn't tell him about his God. He didn't tell him where he was from. He didn't tell him what the country. He didn't tell him any of these things. He kept his mouth shut. And that's the way people are. That's the way we are when we're out of fellowship. We don't talk about how great the Lord is. We don't witness for Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we're not in harmony with him. And that can happen to every one of us. If it happened to Jonah, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. Being out of the will of God decreased his witnessing effectiveness. Note, the mariners observed much about this situation, which was peculiar and uncommon. Either the storm itself or their own distress. And all of these mariners, they were in a situation of distress. They concluded that it was a messenger of divine justice sent to arrest someone on that ship as a guilty person. Please notice, these people had different gods. It wasn't the God of Jonah. Different ones on that ship. But they concluded that there was some guy on that ship that was causing all that trouble. And it was some divine justice that was being sent to arrest someone on that ship who was guilty. Perhaps even a murderer. Can you imagine what those mariners, what they were saying to each other? You know what? We better watch. Things are going bad. This storm is awful. This guy may be responsible for some enormous crime. Everything's bad. These sailors wanted to know. They wanted this matter settled. Who specifically is causing this problem? Who's causing this problem? It seems that God has turned his breath of turmoil on this water and on this boat. And things are terrible. Can you imagine being in a storm like this? Folks, listen. That's horrible. So what does the scripture say? They appealed to the judgment of God. The lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is holy from the Lord. He said, I tell you what you need to do, folks. I'm the one responsible for all this mess. Cast me into the water. Just throw me into the water. The lot fell on Jonah. He could have saved them some trouble had he just said, I'm the man. I'm going to get right with God right now. so that the wind can stop blowing and this ship can become normal. But I want to ask you a question. I put it in capital letters. Are there other sinners on the ship? Oh, yes. But the storm is sent after Jonah. If all these other mariners are saved, and I doubt very seriously, if they were saved, they still had old sinful natures. If they were not saved, they were still individuals with old sinful natures. Was Jonah the only sinner on the boat? No. But he was the one responsible. The scripture says the lot fell on Jonah. And he could have saved them some trouble had he just gotten right with God. You can see it again, and I'm repeating, are there other sinners on the ship? Oh, yes. But the storm is sent after Jonah. I say that slowly because I want you to see now what I'm saying. God deals specifically with individuals. Don't you ever forget it. God deals with each one of us. Wow. Whew. God deals specifically with individuals. And God has many ways to bring to light that which seems to be hidden. Jonah is brought to the master and the mariners. He was a stranger to the mariners, but he was not a stranger to the master. He was on that boat, a stranger to those sailors, but he was not a stranger to God. They had no specific reason to be against him. They did not fly outrageously upon him. They were pretty nice guys. You know what? It's possible for unsaved people to be nice and for saved people to be nice. But it's also possible for unsaved people to be nasty and mean. But it's also possible for saved people to be nasty and mean. I didn't intend to say that, but I'm glad I did. They just calmly and mildly inquired into the case of Jonah. They said, "Tell us, we pray thee, what's the matter? Tell us whose cause this evil is upon all of us." As they looked at Jonah's demeanor, his behavior, his decency, could we have missed the mark? They wanted to know about his country. They wanted to know about his calling. Was he a diviner? Was he a sorcerer? Was he a student of black art? Are you a Chaldean noted for divination? Or an Arabian noted for stealing? I mean, they were really inquisitive about this guy. But look at verse 9. Jonah gives an answer to those asking the question. He tells them that he is a Hebrew, not only of the nation of Israel, but of their religion, which they received from their fathers. They said, "What's your occupation?" Here Jonah gives a testimony of his relationship to the Lord God, Jehovah. Could I pause a moment to tell you that sometimes when you get in a real bind, when you really get into a tight, where the Lord puts you into a squeeze, you just might get right and give a testimony that's right. I'm letting you think about this. I'm letting you have time to be aware of the fact that sometimes God allows us to really get into a squeeze. When things get tight, when things are not like they should be, so to speak, in life, frustrations have come, difficulties have come, trials and tests have come, various difficulties, all things are bad, bad, bad. We're in a squeeze. And God is saying, it's time to get right and give a good testimony for the Lord. Am I talking about where you and I live? Back there in the back, am I talking about where we live? Am I talking about where we live? All of us. Do we get out of harmony? Do we get out of control and under the control of our sinful natures? Of course we do. But God is saying, get right so that you can give a good testimony. Jonah, what about you? What is your occupation? And here Jonah begins to give a testimony of his relationship to the Lord God. What did he say? I fear the Lord Jehovah. That is the God I worship, the God I pray to, the God of heaven, the sovereign Lord of everything. In fact, he's the one that's made the sea and the dry land, and he's the one in command of both. My God is the God of the whole earth. That's what Jonah is declaring at this point. You know what he's doing? Jonah is condemning himself for his own folly. At the same time, he's presenting a message to those who emphasize polytheism, the worship of many gods. Oh, can you see the testimony, what it's doing right now? Hear these sailors, hear these mariners. They've been in the midst of this storm. And here's a man who's saying, I'm the guy that's responsible for all of our problems and your problems. But I want you to know, my God is the God of the whole earth. My God is the God of heaven and earth. Jonah is condemning himself for his own folly and also presenting the message to those who emphasize many gods. Question I have on my notes here, what is his crime? He's fleeing, trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. What is he doing? He's running away from his responsibility. He's running away from his duty. We have now a confession of humility and shame. This is good for us here today because all of us have been guilty at times of going in the wrong direction, not obeying God, outside of the will of God, under the control of our sinful nature, going in the wrong direction. And God is putting us into a squeeze because of all the various circumstances that are taking place in our lives. We're seeing it. We're not where we should be. We're not thinking as we should think. We're not saying what we should say. We're not the type of person we should be. And God is saying, I'm putting you into a squeeze so that you can get right with me and give a good testimony for me. Oh, my. Look at verse 10. Then the men became extremely frightened when they heard all this. And they said, how can you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing, trying to get away from God and God's will for his life. Because he had already told them that. So they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? Were they concerned about their own welfare? Surely. For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. When I look at verse 10, I put down impression upon the mariners. The men were exceedingly afraid, the scripture says. Jonah's God was the God who made the sea and the land. Jonah's God was angry with one that feared and worshiped, though once he is running from his assigned duty. I just want to pause for a moment and ask us all the question. Have we ever chosen at times to be running from our assigned responsibility, our duty, what God wants us to do in life? Have we chosen to go in the wrong direction, be under the control of our sinful nature and just lead a life that's a life of frustration and confusion and bewilderment? And it happens to us. It happens to us. When we choose not to go God's way, you can put it down. There's going to be complexity, frustration. There's going to be all kinds of burdens and trials and tests taking place. Mentally, we're going to be in the wrong direction. And physically, we're going to be going in the wrong direction. And all this socially, we're going to be going in the wrong direction. Jonah's God became angry with him. The one who feared and worshiped, for once he's running from his assigned duty. Well, what did the mariners think? They thought perhaps if a prophet is severely punished for once running away, what will become of us? In other words, if God is going to rain down all these difficulties on him, we're with him. Let me put it down for you. When you are outside of the will of God, and when I'm outside of the will of God, other people are going to be affected by it. These mariners were affected by the fact that Jonah was not right with God. Do you see it? The scripture says, if the righteous will scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:17, 18. Then they ask, why a man who fears a God who's made the sea and the land, why would he be so foolish as to think that he could flee from God's presence? I put in capital letters here, you can see it. What an absurd, unaccountable thing to do. Have we ever been guilty of such? Such an absurd, unaccountable thing to do is to be outside of the will of God. Verse 11. Then they said, what shall we do to thee, that the sea may be calm for us? You talk about some personal concern. What shall we do to you so that the sea will be calm for us? Jonah is delinquent. Jonah is now penitent. Jonah is a prophet. So they ask him what to do. Isn't that strange that these mariners, these sailors, asked that guy what they should do? They did not insult him or choose to be rude to him. The question I have here is, what is our attitude toward those who are overtaken by a fault? If we have people that we know who have been overtaken by a fault, what's our attitude toward them? Oh, if unbelieving mariners could have the right attitude, shouldn't we? Do you see it? What is our attitude toward individuals we know who've gone in the wrong direction? We are to have an attitude that's manifested in the Word of God. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, consider himself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I have to hasten. If our disobedience raises the storm, then what are the steps we should take to calm the troubled seas? Write this out, please, and think about it for a year or two. If our disobedience raises the storm, then what are the steps we should take to calm the troubled sea? Discover. Be aware of our troubles. Be aware of our sins. Detest them. Disclaim. Declare. These are beautiful words. Now, I have to tell you that I have these points. And I told you at the beginning that I had 10 points that I call summary points, principles for chapter 1. And you know what? It's time for us to go home. And so if you want the 10 points, you come on Wednesday night. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to study. This is a magnificent book. Oh my, we're seeing things that remind us over and over again of how you treat individuals. You treat them fully aware of the difficulties, the burdens, and yet you treat us in grace. We thank you for the matchless grace of God. The scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. That salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. So we're made aware of the fact today again that it was God's grace manifested in the life of Jonah. And it's God's grace manifested in our individual lives here today. You look down upon this auditorium. You look down upon those who are listening to this message, no matter where they may be. And you are fully aware of our individual needs. For those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to see that God's plan is for salvation to come only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's a way of salvation, faith alone, in Christ alone. We pray that there will be many, many today who will just right now trust you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And then for all of us in this auditorium as believers in Jesus Christ, help us to see that when we get out of fellowship, when we get out of harmony, we cause not only trouble for ourselves, but for others. Help us to be renewed. Help us to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit of God, contemplating the wonderful truths of God's Word so that we can be what we ought to be in the time that you allow us on this earth. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open my lips, I will sing your praise forever. Open my lips, O Lord, I will sing. Sing your praise.